You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 152 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and My New Horse. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
Today, we chat with Kristen Werner from the Jockey Club about the new OTTB profile report. We catch up with Bridget Heasley from New Vocations and introduce you to our adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Well, Kristen, I feel like we are not really doing a ton with our horses, despite the warm weather. I've been getting a lot of cuddles and giving a lot of treats, which has been lovely.
Rained on a lot, so that's been the extent of it. Yeah, lots of rain. So,
how are you keeping yourself occupied?
I have a lot going on. So, I have my little. I need to stop talking about it like this. I have my craft business, and I have been rapidly working on baskets and knits and stuff because craft show season is about to start around here. So I've got that, I have the podcast, I have my day job, we're putting horses on a grass rotation, so I've been working on my truck for half a day, and I'm writing a novel. So there's a lot going on over here. It's all good.
You're living a full life.
I am not sleeping a lot, but it's fun. How about you? What are you doing? Growing some humans.
Yeah, that mostly takes up my day these days, but work has been like pretty busy. We're hitting our busy season, so that's been good. Obviously the podcast, and I am excited for a lot of things we have planned over the next few episodes. Like, I'm actually really excited for our spring summer episodes to come out. And then we're like at makeover time, which I know you hate that I start doing that this early,
but it's true. At this point it's been enough years, I'm used to it now.
Look at you accepting
this is growth.
But yeah, mostly doing that, getting the house in a good order, but I am excited to put Astrid in a type of work per se. I want to learn about rehabbing and like different exercises you can do with rehab horses. So she is going to be my quote unquote patient.
I love it.
Yes.
What a great use for her. I mean, not that every horse has to have a use, right? Like, it's okay for horses to be retired, but also a lot of them like to have a job. So
yes.
Yeah, and especially thoroughbreds. So I love that.
I'm excited for her. I think she's really going to enjoy it because most of the things I'm looking at involve either pulls or stretches, some light work, of course. So we'll do what is physically comfortable for her. Like, I'm obviously not going to do rehab rides or a lot of lunge work, but a lot of just the muscle building that you can do from the ground through hand walking, light trotting, things like that. I think it's going to be really good for her, and she loves the attention. So
perfect.
I think it'll be fun for both of us, especially because I'm not riding.
Oh, yeah. Good point. No, that sounds great.
Yes. So I'll get some videos up soon once we start on that. But I think the only thing she won't necessarily love is that we're not doing everything in the field. I've been doing all of my like pregnancy walks in her pasture for the most part, with it being warmer out. And so she whinnies at me whenever I come because she knows we're going on a walk. And then we have what I call a picnic where I bring my lunch and I eat it and she gets treats for me.
I love it. That sounds so divine.
It's a vibe. It is a vibe. I feel like a Disney princess.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, we're not doing a whole lot over here. So just looking for calves. It's been so wet. Like, we can't ride in our fields because I don't want to rip them up, which means we have nowhere to ride. So it's just been a lot of like watching it rain. Looking at baby calves. So
that's poetic.
Yeah, we're up to 20. So we got a bunch. I haven't been putting them on the podcast social, but follow me at the Horseback Rider if you would like to see lots of baby calves. My favorite cow had a calf overnight. The one I have ridden. So she's not a riding cow, but I have sat on her while she like yogged around. So yeah, but yeah, otherwise it's been pretty slow. So to spice things up today, I asked listeners to ask us a few questions. So a little, I think they call it an AMA, the cool kids, and ask me anything. And listeners were very, very nice to us. They did not ask us anything super prying, nice, fun horse questions. So okay. I'm going to dive right into these. We are holding one of them. We are actually going to AMA that to Bridget later for our training tip. So we had a really good question come in about enrichment. So I'm going to punt that one to Bridget a little bit later, but we're going to tackle the rest of them now. So I'm going to start with the fun one. They're all fun, but this is from Instagram user Planet Nice Crafts. She said, "I'll be easy. Did you watch the Kentucky Derby?"
I did.
I'm
glad you did. I got to watch the replay. I didn't get to watch it in the moment, which made me sad. We had birthday shenanigans for Zach and his mom this weekend. So
It's hard to watch. There's just the field is so big. The Derby is like overwhelming to watch. So,
yes.
Yeah. We Although turned Zach it on was, just for the race.
He did say we should just skip his birthday dinner and go straight to a bar and watch it.
So, well, you know why? It's because last year Eric bet on Mystic Dan and he made enough money on that to buy himself a wok. So now we have really good stir fries. So Zach's probably like, wait a minute, I could get kitchen equipment.
And it's funny you say that, Chris. So this is the first year I didn't bet. I always give myself a $50 budget.
Okay, we bet $2.
Oh, I have fun with that. I do like a couple random ones and then I'll do like a trifecta. Like it is a treat for me. It's a special occasion that I budget for.
Yeah.
And it's the only one I really do. And every time I do it, I get so close to the trifecta. It's always one off. Always. And this year was no different, but I did not bet this year. I was like, I didn't study the horses like I normally do. I'm just going to call it a year because it has not happened for me. And of course my number one horse did win, which I was very excited about.
Good for him.
I did have journalism in second, but the wild card, I did not anticipate Basil. I did not anticipate that. So I'm glad I didn't bet this year because that would have made me sad. Mystic Dan, I actively swore at because he ruined my trifecta last year. But it's fine. I will get over it someday emotionally. But
I am very happy for Sovereignty and his connections. He's a Godolphin horse. Godolphin's been a huge supporter of RRP and aftercare in general. So it's great to see
those guys win one.
Yes.
It's a good win. But I found out my mom watched it, which was also a special treat. My mom has been actively against horse racing for years. Uh-oh. And then she started listening to our podcast 2 years ago, which one inspired her to get her first standardbred, who is still there living his best life. But apparently she is now following horse racing and trying to get a better understanding. And she was texting me updates and it was really, really cute. Enjoy that.
I love that. And we're going to get into this a little bit later with Christian Werner. But, you know, as I think I'm sure I have mentioned before, that's like one of my little pet things right now is like that off-track thoroughbred and off-track standardbred owners are an untapped source for horse racing fans. So I love that is kind of a two-way street, you know, that people can get into the horses after they're racing and then get into the horses while they are racing. That's really cool to me.
Yeah. Love that. In her words, it has opened her eyes that it's not a monstrous sport and there's a lot of good people doing good things. And yes, we're doing it.
Very open-minded. I love that. Thank you, Joy's mom.
Yes.
I love that. All right. We've got a couple other listener questions. So from our friend, Andrew, we're going to always call him Equine Affair Andrew. Andrew wants to know if you could describe yourself as a horse breed, what breed would you be and why?
Oh gosh.
I think I would be a thoroughbred. I had a track career in high school. I was long-legged and lanky, and now I am slow and tired. So I'm going to go with thoroughbred, but like specifically retired racehorse thoroughbred for myself.
See, I wish I could say that about myself. I truthfully think I'm a Friesian. I am bougie. And I'm somewhat lazy and I'm definitely stubborn and I can sometimes think I'm smarter than everyone in the room, but I'm actually not.
I mean, I would say like a solid 90% of the time you probably are.
Oh, that's nice. I think you just say like a solid, like 40% of the room. I was like, okay, I'll take it. And I love a compliment. I love when people say I'm pretty, and I love snacks. And I love a good heel. I do love a good heel shoe. And I feel like Frisians, especially Mayor Frisians, would actually, you know what, even Gelding Frisians would rock a high heel if they could. So,
all right. Good answer. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. That'd be me.
All right. We have from Jessica Reichel. If your horse was any other animal, what would they be and why? Can it be a mythical animal? Because Jobber would be a dragon. I am convinced. Yeah. Shorty would be a llama. Or something. We don't really know about Shorty. I don't know. Shorty, and you know, like when you talk for your animals, right? Like, do you do this with Tova? Like, hey, Tova. Hey, Joy. You know, Lark, our dog Lark, that I know we've talked about because she's just like a walking train wreck. And Shorty get the same voice when I'm talking to Eric. And then, like, Eric very patiently will humor this and keep talking to Shorty, but it's me. Like, for like a solid 10 minutes, like, it's probably a weird bit at this point. But so, I mean, Shorty could be a poodle pointer, or he might be a dog. Yeah, he would just be like some kind of big, like big loyal oafy thing that just likes to kind of hang out with you. And Jobber would be a dragon.
I love that you say that, because I would say my dog and my horse had their souls switched. Oh. They weren't born in the same year, but I think something got crisscrossed. There's because
a clerical error somewhere.
Astrid is 100% a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
She is confident, forward, athletic, and she is very protective of me. She chases other horses away from me. Sometimes she chases people away from me. I am her person at all times, and she is very possessive of me. Where my actual German Shepherd is more like a horse. She is injured constantly, afraid of most things, can die by just eating her food sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Shoot, you might be right.
I think it got switched.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. All right, we have one more to wrap up. This is from Kyle, the OTTB mayor guy, aka Kyle from Mayorworthy. Who is your favorite thoroughbred mayor of all time and why? And it cannot be your own. So that is very much targeting you. Because I don't have any mayors. So you think on that. Mine is Rags to Riches, who was the filly that won the Belmont over Curlin. And I don't remember what year that was. That was way back because I was working at the ranch because my boss also was into horse racing. Like, she received the Blood Horse like print edition, and I think it came out weekly. And she would always read it, and then she knew I was into racing, so she would stop by the staff room and give me last week's Blood Horse to read, which was just like a nice thing, like, to do. And I remember the day or I think it was maybe the day after the Belmont or something. Either way, I remember I pulled it up on YouTube and I was like, oh my God, Mel, you have to come and watch this race. I think the filly wins it. So like forever, that's gonna just kind of have like a sentimental memory for me. But that makes Rags to Riches my favorite thoroughbred filly of all time.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. I think mine's honestly Winx. And I know she's not a U.S. bred.
That's a good one.
I loved following that mare's story, but I also loved the press on how she was treated in between races, where they would take her to the beach and just love on her. And like, I felt like she was so respected as a horse, and she really was an icon for the community, and not just racing, like just supporters and bystanders. Like, she just kind of became a national treasure.
Yeah,
just doing what she loved. And I mean, she's a broodmare now. And for me, I feel like it was like my Zenyatta, my Rachel Alexander, my dad, those were his favorite mares. He loved watching their careers. And like, I was old enough to comprehend Winx's career. And so I feel like she's just really cool. Like, if I could meet any horse, it'd be Winx.
Yeah, no, you're right. That was like our generation's like Zenyatta. Yeah, like I wasn't like horse racing woke at the time that Zenyatta was running, right? So like, that just didn't really occur to me. I guess I was, but like, not, I wasn't following it seriously. But yeah, like when Winx hit the scene, like, yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, the world was watching Winx run. And it was really, really cool. And like I said, just how she was treated by owners, trainers, everything. Like, it was the best of the best of the sport, I felt like.
Yeah. And they're so passionate about horse racing in Australia. It was really neat to see like their national reception
Yeah, go to Australia. I feel like we need to go to Australia and just like check out some barns. We just need to make a Retired Research Radio global trip.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Australian listeners, I want you to email Glenn. Tell him to make this happen.
Yeah, love it. Well, listeners, that was fun. We might do more of those. And those were very nice questions. Not to say you can't send us a spicy question, but we may edit the questions if they're too spicy. But that was a very nice array of questions. So thanks. Thanks very much.
All right. So before we get into the full episode, we're going to hear from one of our premier sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, Joy, we are joined today by the other fabulous Kristen. We have Kristen Werner, who's here with us today from the Jockey Club and Thoroughbred Incentive Program, and to share about a really cool new program you guys are doing called the OTTB Profile. So, Kristen, welcome back to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Hey, thanks to you all for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk about this cool new report that we've got.
Yeah, I know. I feel like every time we have you on, it's just about something like really neat and innovative and new that you guys are doing, and always kind of like pushing it forward. So the OTTB profile rolled out a little earlier this spring. So tell us a little bit, like, you know, give us the quick pitch on what is OTTB profile and how does it relate to all of us with retired racehorses?
Yeah, sure. So this is an equine line report. So I'm not sure how familiar retired racehorse owners would be with equine line, but equine line is the Jockey Club's sort of commercial platform for distributing data. And so this is a new report called 9OT. So if you're looking for it in the menu, that's what you look for. We put the OT there for off track to make sure everybody knows who it's for. And the purpose of this was kind of to provide information customized to off track thoroughbred owners and anyone who might be shopping for a thoroughbred as their next horse. So the Jockey Club, through TIP and through a lot of our other initiatives, has recognized that helping thoroughbreds thrive in a second career and communicating that they have value and talent outside of the racing industry is a priority of the Jockey Club and also should be a priority of everyone in our sport. We know that thoroughbreds have value outside of racing, whether that's as a sport horse, recreational riding horse, therapeutic horse, or even bloodstock in a breeding program used to improve other horse breeds like warm bloods. And we've received a lot of feedback over the years regarding information that off-track thoroughbred owners want to see. A lot of that comes from people maybe seeking their next off-track thoroughbred for a sport horse or even a makeover participant because they need to have data to back up their horse's eligibility. We also reached out to some off-track thoroughbred owners, and actually the project manager on the technology side for this report is also the owner of a thoroughbred in a second career. So we took all that information that we've gotten over the years and with the help on the technology side, the resulting report is really a bespoke summary of the horse's race record that's unlike any other race record that we currently have available commercially. For each individual start, it's got the race comments, the owner and trainer for each race, an explanation of the race, and it's in an easy-to-read, plain English format. So people who are new to owning a thoroughbred, but they want to know what's this horse's history, what did it do? They don't have to decipher what in the world is the ALW 25K on D going 6F. For anybody who might understand what that actually means for knowledgeable off-track thoroughbred owners or people that want information deeper than what this report has, there's also a link to the full race chart so they can find out all of the information that they want there. The report also has 10 workouts for the horse, which is something that's not really available on any other products, a list of the horse's siblings, auction history, and then if applicable, the subject horse's mare's produce record. So lots of good information, and we're really hoping that off-track thoroughbred owners will find it kind of a cool report just to have about a horse that you have or even just a horse that you're looking for.
Yeah, it's so comprehensive. Like, I don't think, like, yes, you could compile this information from other reports and Equibase and, like, places that are accessible already, but there is no other report that pulls all of this, like, in one swoop, right? Like, you have to, you know, if you have a broodmare in particular, like, you have to then buy a produce report, and then the pedigree is somewhere different, and then the race record is somewhere different. So, like, you could compile all this information, but now, like, you guys have taken all of that, like, asinine legwork out of it and just like giving it to us in one place, which I think is amazing. And I like too that there's a share button on here, so like I can just pull the link and like send it to Joy of the horse that I'm looking at right now to be like, yo, look at this horse.
And that's really a first for any of our reports. We really wanted to encourage the promotion of thoroughbreds in their second career, so we tried to make it really easy for owners or you know prospective sellers of horses to share the report with just one click. We actually made the report available for Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance organizations that they can pull the reports and use them in their socials or on their websites where they post their horses so that people can access the most up-to-date and you know information about the horses that they're looking at. And we went one step further on the promotion side of things and also made the report available for free to anybody who's has a Thoroughbred with a Thoroughbred Incentive Program number. We just wanted to kind of do a thank you to those who have supported the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. Which at this point is about 40,000 horses, so that's awesome. But lots of free reports out there.
Wow. I didn't know there were that many involved. That's crazy.
Yeah. We have about 46,000 tip numbers, but there are some duplicates in there, so we have to kind of round down a bit. But anybody with a tip number, when the report was launched, that profile is sitting in your account today. And then any new tip numbers will have access to that profile 30 days after they get the tip number. So we really, like I said, want this to be the ultimate information source for equestrians seeking their next thoroughbred, and we hope that current off-track owners will maybe find some nuggets of information about their horse that they didn't know before they looked at this report.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I'm gonna go get mine because both of ours are tip registered, so yeah, they have their tip numbers. And I remember, you know, because we were looking at this a little earlier this spring at RRP, and I think you had very nicely pulled Jobber for me, and I was like, oh, like I just learned something I didn't know about him. I didn't know that he ever worked out at Mountaineer. Like, no idea when he was at Mountaineer, because his race record doesn't reflect that at all, and I would have no way of accessing that information. So like,
it's wild to see their travels.
Yes, yeah, I was like, oh, when did you end up in? Okay, that's good for you. Like, source is better traveled than I am. Like, so, oh, that's funny. This is just, it's really neat. And I think it's such a nice way to kind of like tie in for equestrians, like the racing background, right? Like, you know, I think all of us here on the show are pretty familiar, you know, like we celebrate that racing background for people, but to have that information, like just available at a click, I think is really key for equestrians to, you know, understand and appreciate where those horses came from.
For sure. And like I said, we kind of tried to make it a bit more plain English than if you just pulled up the horse's regular race record. There's probably a lot on there that if you are unfamiliar with racing would look a lot like a foreign language. And so we tried to make it so that someone could very quickly at a glance see what their horse's history was, where it's been, when it raced, where it raced, if there's any breaks in between, all that sort of information. That's kind of what someone looking at a thoroughbred as their potential sport or recreational horse would be interested in.
I love this. You're touching on like one of my like favorite little like pet platforms right now, which is that off-track thoroughbred owners are like a potentially untapped population of like future racing fans. So right. Like providing this information in a way that doesn't feel like it's being gatekept, you know, like people then can be like, oh, that's cool. You know, like I'm looking at the siblings section right now, you know, so it'd be really neat. You know, the sample horse that you guys have on Equine Line that's available is Egoli, who conveniently is also a Mareworthy horse and did the makeover. So like so many ties from the show, you know, because we've had Kyle on from Mareworthy many times. So it's neat to see her here. But, you know, like if this were my horse and I'm looking at these half siblings, I'd be looking up to see like, oh, are they running anytime soon? Like, that'd be really neat to watch some of their races and cheer them on.
And if you really like your horse, are they done racing and do they need a home?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, wait, are there half siblings available? Cause I'd be really interested in tracking down, you know, a half to jobber and raising that up for my next ranch horse, you know? So having all that information available is really, really neat. So, and I think like there's
even dig deeper, you know, if there's the breeder there, Clear Sky Farms, if you Google that, even say, oh, who's this breeder? You'll find a whole lot of information about how successful her breeder was and that they've bred Arrogate, the 2017 Dubai World Cup winner, in addition to a bunch of other really nice horses, and her sire, Quality Road, hugely successful stallion, grade one winners, 15 grade one winners. If you had just gotten this horse, you know, and you look all that up, you almost probably feel like you now have a celebrity in your backyard, you know, because they're right. Like, what in the world?
yeah, especially like, you know,
with these guys?
Well, and yeah, if you look at this horse's auction history, she sold she sold in January 2019 for $270,000, which I am sure is not likely the price paid for her off the track. So just to be like, whoa, this horse, you know, like to understand like how much value this horse had monetarily, you know, to people in the height of its career is really interesting to me as a thoroughbred owner. And I don't know, to me, that's one of the most appealing things about these thoroughbreds and standardbreds is like just how much information is available. But you guys have made this so much easier to access that information too.
Yeah, I really think of any breed of horse, the amount of information you can find on the thoroughbred, and obviously I'm a little partial to like, you should look at this report because it's even better than what's available. But I mean, I don't know any other breed that you could find this much information on its history, you know, maybe a show record, but you know, this goes back to its first career, where it was bred, who the breeder was, its pedigree, its five generation pedigree, its auction history. You know, I don't know that amount of detailed information is really available for any other breeds other than maybe standard breeds, obviously, because they kind of have a similar second career that comes after being in a industry that really likes data. I think it's you know, it's just some people might run the report and there might not be any information on the horse, but they might run the report and find out their horse had 95 starts and it, you know, went all over the country. And I just think for people who bought a horse because of its potential and its athletic ability, and you know, just finding out what it has been doing before it got to be their eventer or their dressage horse has just got to be really exciting. And I think this report really helps to put that in a format that's so easy to understand, but also that you can just share it out there to all your friends and brag on, you know, look at my horse, you know, my horse ran in a stakes race, or my horse never ran in a stakes race, but he tried really hard, you know, whatever the message is that you see. I just think it's really cool to be able to share that out. And that just helps us to talk up thoroughbreds even more, which we love to do.
Yeah, I feel like now I just got like a free pass to like brag on my horses again. So thank you for that, because I will do that. Yeah. I'm going to be like, haha, look, Jobber earned more than Shorty, you know, rub it in. Not that we have a sibling rivalry in this house, but we do. So, you know, we might as well use the report and be like, haha, look, I love that.
That's proof, evidence.
Yeah. So this has been out for a little while. What's been like the general reception, you know, from the racing industry as well as the equestrian industry?
Yeah, so we've had a really great reception on the report. We had a lot of positive feedback, a lot of thank yous. And of course, as per usual, we had some suggestions from people about how we can make it even better, which are always appreciated. You know, this is version 1.0, and this is really the first equine line report that is focused on a thoroughbred doing something other than racing or being bred for something other than racing. So the feedback is appreciated, and, you know, we'll sort of see where we go from here. We anticipate that popularity of this report will continue to grow as more people see it and start to see the overall value and all the usable data elements in a single report presentation. People who buy and sell horses have been looking at other data sources, both official and unofficial, for many years. As you know, we see that on Facebook posts or horse listings on the internet, or you know, sellers and agents and listings. There's all kinds of links to all kinds of other sources, but we really hope that they'll consider switching over to this as a one-stop shop to get a pretty comprehensive look at the thoroughbreds that they're trying to sell and make buyers kind of be looking for this kind of information in one spot. Like I said before, it's pretty awesome that you can go to one report and find all this information. I don't know that you can do that for any other horse breed, especially.
So. Right. Yeah, not to like point fingers, but every time I see someone sharing like all breed pedigree, I'm like, that's the Wikipedia of pedigrees. Like you can change that so easily. That's not, you know, anybody like in grade school. Exactly. We weren't allowed to use that as a source in grade school. So yeah, shouldn't be allowed to use it now. I know it's a fun reference, yep. But yeah, this is so much more like legitimate, legitimate looking. Yeah. And like, you know, obviously it's backed by your database of like with so much data in it, like, you know, it's legitimate and vetted and ready to go. Yep. So love that. Cool. All right. So people can find this easily just by going to equineline.com and it comes up in the slider and then pull that report for you and your horses. And of course, yes, if you have a tip number, then that report is already free and generated for you.
Yeah. So any horse can get a OTTV profile report through Equineline. You can buy them there. you do have to have an Equineline account, especially if you want to watch the videos. So in addition to all that data that I talked about before, there are links to every one of the horses' race videos, but those are provided by not Equineline. They're provided by a third party who owns all the rights to those. So there is a small fee. I think it's like 35 cents to watch a race video. So you have to have an account to do that. But for anybody, again, who's never really seen racing or certainly didn't see their horse racing, those are pretty fun too, to watch and see how your horse looked as a young racehorse and compared to now.
Not very fast is what mine looked like, but I have watched.
I never even
two
raced.
Wins.
Oh, you're ahead of me. But I can understand why he grew a lot between 3 and 4, and was probably not in his best form as a 2 and 3 year old.
A little late bloomer. That's okay.
Yeah.
Love that. So yeah, that's also your reminder, folks. If you have your thoroughbred and you are eagerly starting on your journey to transition them to your sport or recreational horse, don't forget to get that TIP number. So what are some of the advantages to participating in TIP, Kristen?
Sure. So, you know, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program started, I guess the idea started about almost 14 years ago now. The program first launched in 2012. But the expansion of it has really happened probably in the last 10 years or so. So we started out with awards for thoroughbreds at horse shows and high point awards at those same horse shows. And we added a year-end performance award program that allows people to participate even if they don't have tip shows near them. We added a recreational riding program that's essentially an hours in the saddle type program where you get prizes just for riding your horse. And then we also have in the last 6 years or so added the Thoroughbred Incentive Program Championships, or Tip Champs as we like to call it, which is the breed championship event hosted by the Jockey Club. For the last several years, it's been at Stableview in Aiken, South Carolina. And that is a showcase for the top thoroughbreds in the country across a wide range of disciplines. That show has become such a fun event. People work towards it every year, and I love seeing it on the calendars of some of the trainers and the show organizers that we work with, sort of the goal that they're aiming for the year. So I think we've come a long way with TIP. We started sort of with 150 shows with awards, and we're at about 1,600 this year, in addition to all those other programs that I talked about.
Gosh, that's a lot going on. So I had always done the performance awards, you know, where you just submit, like, report your own show results. And I always participated in that. And then our show series actually added TIP approved classes. And I didn't realize that those paid out extra. So then, like, all of a sudden at the end of the year, we got a check in the mail. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty sweet deal. So yeah, people, it pays to show in TIP classes. So get that number. It's free to get your number. And then you can look for shows near you. And if you don't have shows with approved classes, you can do that performance awards and just submit your placings to Kristen directly. She will get some cool prizes in the mail for you. We have so much drinkware from TIP. It's amazing.
Yes, we do have a lot of water bottles and tumblers, but it's, you know, we have to, when you're trying to do prizes for all these shows and they have to be mailable, there's only so many things that ship well. And we learned kind of quickly that the plastic ones don't ship super well, but the metal tumblers and the metal water bottles are popular and also ship much better.
So, oh yeah. No, it's great. Like we've got a set for the trailer. We have a set for the barn. We have a set for that. Like it is legitimately, they are excellent prizes. So All right, everybody, get that tip number. And so one more thing that you've had going on recently, because you just never stop. IFAR, the International Forum for the Aftercare of Racehorses, that conference was held in the U.S. That moves around the world. Is it every year or every couple of years?
So it's kind of been every year, although not necessarily. It's been every year, but that hasn't ever really been like, oh, we're going to have it every year. But it's worked out that we've had it with the Asian Racing Conference for the last several years, and just the way that their calendar has worked. It's been every calendar year, although a different time of year. But that by its nature, when it's held in conjunction with a racing conference, you know, the majority of the participants are associated with horse racing or breeding or more the horse racing side of things. So we identified that, you know, really IFAR has many missions, some of which are related to trying to get racing organizations to prioritize aftercare, but then some of which is sharing best practices of aftercare organizations and also promoting the thoroughbred as a sport horse. And so we really felt like while we've addressed a lot of topics at those meetings, we haven't really spoken directly to aftercare organizations. And so we wanted to sort of bring that messaging in and thought, what a better spot to do it than Lexington, and what a better time to do it than during Defender Kentucky 3-Day Event Week here in Lexington. So we had a great conference. We had a day of a conference, and we took them out on field trips and pouring down rain, unfortunately, but they still enjoyed it. And then we took them out to tailgate at Defender. And it was really awesome to see people who have probably never seen a thoroughbred doing anything other than racing get to see that. And they were very wide-eyed getting into that environment. I don't think they expected or they even knew kind of what we were getting them into. And they were blown away sort of by that sporting event taking place. And then anybody who is a eventing fan or a horse person, you know, they came back to our tailgate and were like, the shopping is so fantastic. And like, obviously they loved the competition too. But anybody who's a horse person, I mean, you could spend all day shopping and not even see a horse there. So it was really great.
What a great environment. I mean, that's the closest thing to like, you know, like big race day energy that you're going to find, I think, for an equestrian event is Defender. So yeah, what a good choice of place to put them. And of course, you know, we had thoroughbreds competing there. We went over that a little bit in our last episode, but you know, it was great to see a good showing from the thoroughbreds too, to like make us all proud.
Awesome. Somebody mentioned as one, I forget which horse it was the horse in the 4-star, but it was running by and someone was like, is that a thoroughbred? And we were like, actually it is. And they're like, I can tell because he doesn't even look tired. And I was like, well, it's pretty fair.
Love that. So you've had a busy spring then. So
I have.
Over there.
Nope. And now we're turning to tip championships, which is seems like a long way away, but 5 months is not a long time in the planning of horse show world. So I have to now turn to that in addition to all the other things that we do at the jockey club. So it does never stop. But the IFAR conference was a lot of work on the front end, but it was really great that everything kind of worked out like we hoped that it would. And people had a great time and a good experience. And a lot of people have come back and said they left feeling reinvigorated about aftercare. So that's
perfect.
That's a great goal that I can have, and I'll take that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to hear. I love that. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for sparing a little bit of time in your whirlwind schedule to chat with us and to share that OTTB profile. So listeners, remember equineline.com to go check that out. And Kristen, remind people where they can go to get involved with TIP.
That is tjctip.com. And get your tip number and start participating. We'd love to have you.
Love that. Well, thanks very much, Kristen.
Thank you all.
Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986, designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask, trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece. It's like a spa day for your horse's back. To the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, it is our favorite time of the show. Actually, I kind of like the whole show, Joy, but this is, I know, everyone's favorite part, where we get to talk about a training tip and hear about an adoptable horse of the week with our friends from New Vocations. It's our Standardbred version today. We have Bridget Heasley with us from the Standardbred branch. Welcome back, Bridget.
Hello.
So today's theme is like listener questions, AMA, like what do listeners want to know? And we had a really good question come in, and I thought it'd be fun to just kind of punt this one to you. This was a pretty training-based question. So this is from Instagram user FarmGirl7812. She wants to know, what is our favorite horse enrichment idea or product?
Well, I think that kind of depends on which way I'm going. As far as entertaining a horse that might have to be in for one reason or another, we have a lot of balls here in the barn that the horses like to pass back and forth between the stalls, you know, spend a lot of time playing with. We discovered the jolly balls that you can stuff with hay.
Ooh.
And, you know, we'll stuff them full of hay and we'll stick random treats in there. Like we'll hide one minty muffin in there, one German muffin in a whole bunch of hay. And that will entertain them quite a lot when they're in their stalls, which is good. And we have open front stalls. So somewhere I have a video of this, of two of them passing a ball back and forth between each other at the front of the barn, which is just absolutely ridiculous, but it is pretty precious to watch. So that's my favorite for like keeping them from getting bored in the stall. And as far as when things are like, okay, now we don't want to just go around in circles in the arena anymore, what can we do to make things interesting? I think my favorite thing is a tarp.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yay? Oh, so like so accessible, so versatile. I love it. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, cheap. Like, we can do right. So many things with the tarps. Like we will put them on the ground to walk over, or put, you know, make a fake Liverpool for them to do a little baby jump over, whether it's in hand or under saddle. They can wear the tarp around. We can hang it from a stall and walk underneath of it. We can just hang it in the doorway and let it blow around. Lots of good sounds and good visuals and just good things. And again, you know, they're so easy to get. You can get them in different sizes, and we have all kinds of different sizes. We have long, skinny ones that look like a little river. We have, you know, square ones that are what we like to drag around behind us or put on them. And, you know, just a nice, cheap training tool that you can get anywhere and use for so many things.
Love it. Joy, how about you? Do you have a favorite?
I have a smorgasbord of things. All of mine are definitely like the cheap, more training side of things. I have been fortunate enough, like knock on wood, I really haven't had to do stall rest with any horse besides Astrid one time, and she is just interested in hanging out with me. She does not want toys. Like I could just put her in the indoor and we're happy together. But as far as training things, probably my favorite thing is like any type of target. And I made my own by just getting a shower rod curtain or a curtain rod from the dollar store and a big oversized tennis ball from Tractor Supply. And I cut a hole in it, put it on there, and that's my target. Sorry, I don't spend the money on the clinician rated ones. I make my own, but the horses love it and it can be used for so many things. So when teaching them, like using positive reinforcement training, what the target is. But for a lot of my more nervous horses or horses who are unsure in their bodies, I like to use it to teach them how to touch or approach objects that are normally scary. Or we're learning how to bend and supple in different ways because they follow the target without overthinking. And I don't have to manipulate with my hands, especially if that horse, a lot of the horses I've worked with have gone through some sort of physical trauma or force work. So they're cautious if how I use my hands. So this has given us that safe place to give them something to look at. They know when they follow it, they're going to get a reward. And they get very excited when it comes out of my tack locker because they know we're going to do something fun. And it's very affordable. Anyone can put it together, but you can use anything. You could use a paddle, you could use a party streamer, like anything you want. As long as they start to associate it as a target, you can use it.
Hmm, interesting. I'll have to keep that in mind, especially in the winter when we get really bored. Yes. I mean, I realize that not everyone is going to have the same level of access, but cows. Cows are our favorite enrichment activity. You know, if the horses are getting tired of just doing flat work out in the field, we just put them on some cows. Not always when we actually have ranch work to do. So sometimes the poor cows are just sort of the victims of my need for enrichment. But fun for the horses, fun for us. Maybe not as much fun for the cows, but we bother them for 5 minutes and then leave them alone. So I think it works out. The horses also have a jolly ball that Jobber likes to beat the other two with. So that's mostly fun for me to watch. But he chooses violence. So
that's a good question.
That was a good question. So yeah, thank you, Farm Girl 7812, for that. Bridget, you have a special adoptable horse to share with us today. I don't actually know how special he is, but it just looks like a delight. So please tell us about Lucifer's Legend.
Yes. So Legend is a very like regal, handsome kind of guy. He is an Australian import, and he, you know, thinks you should treat him like he is a fancy import, which you should because he's lovely. He, you know, had a pretty nice race career and was retired to his owner's farm. And then she thought he probably would like to have a job and sent him through new vocations. So he is just learning about life after the track that doesn't involve chilling in the field. So he's not always the bravest when he's confronted with new scary things. He might like that target, actually, to teach him that they're not scary. But he's doing very well. He's getting to go outside more and ride, which he seems to really enjoy. And I could see him enjoying hunter paces as he, you know, moves along with his training. But he just would like somebody that is laid back to kind of help him grow and experience life as a riding horse.
I know we've said this before about things, but like this horse literally, like, you know, you told us his name, we opened up his page and I was like, this is a Warmblood. Like, like he has that Warmblood look. Like he just has a very classy face. There's something just a little bit different about the way his face looks. You know, like sometimes standardbreds have that kind of like wise owl look, and he looks more like a show horse to me somehow. Not that the standardbreds don't, but like there's just something a little whimsical in some of the standardbreds' eye, and he just has a very like staid sort of look to him. Like he just wants to go
do things. He looks eager to me. Like he's like, what's happening? I want to take it in. He looks very personable too. Like I feel like he's a horse that gravitates to humans.
Yes, he's very, like, he's very engaging on the ground. He's, you know, very people-oriented, and he wants to do the right thing under saddle. He just isn't 1,000% sure right now what that is.
But that's okay. None of us do. Like, I was going to say, though, 20, 30 years, I still don't know what I'm doing, so don't worry.
Yeah, that's fair. None of us know what we're doing. We're all over 30.
But, I love him. I'm looking at his breeding, too. So he's by Camibest. Is that a stallion by Cambest? I'm just guessing.
Yeah, his sire is Camibest, who is by Cambest, yes.
So he is also related to Wes, because Wes is out of a Cambest mare.
Okay.
So this horse is way fancier looking than Wes. I'm just going to put that out there. Yes. Everyone's like, oh, Wes. No, this thing is way cooler looking. No offense to Wes, but this horse is much cooler looking than Wes. I like him. He's very cool. Yeah. And he's on sale right now. Tell us about the sale.
I don't know that the sale is still going on, but if you're you know an approved adopter, we can chat about all of the things.
Little retired resource radio sale, maybe
if you mention that you heard about him on Retired Racehorse Radio, I will give you what was the former sale price.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see the line here. I guess it's just still up on the website, but this was the April 30th sale.
Yes.
So this is now over. But, oh, that was Spring Fling Adoption Special. Yep. Okay. Spring Fling's over, but heard it here first. A little Retired Racehorse Radio.
Coupon. You just tell me that. You just tell me. You heard it on Retired Racehorse Radio, and we will honor that sale.
I love that. Absolutely. Bridget is just giving me more reasons to pack up and go to Ohio and look at this horse.
He's super cute. He's a great height. You know, we're always a fan of a 16-hand horse because it fits just about everybody. He's got that nice full body. And Bridget, I know you said he doesn't quite seem to always know what's going on, but I'm watching his video. He is trying so hard. Like, I would not believe you at all.
He is. He does try very, very hard. Like I said, he just isn't 1,000% sure what the answer is. But he's learning. He's doing a lot better with every single ride. And I hope to get some new video of him outside enjoying the great outdoors here very soon as well.
Awesome. Well, can't wait to see it. Listeners, check him out, newvocations.org. There's tons of great standardbreds on there, as well as thoroughbreds. And if you have any questions, reach out to Bridget. She will definitely help you find out who is right for you. But you have to be an approved adopter first. So get your applications in as well. Thank you so much, Bridget, for joining us. It is always a treat.
I love being on. Thank you for having me.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Keep an eye out for some of those future AMAs to come back again. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and My New Horse, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show as it helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.